Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CL Educate Limited Q4 and full year FY 2018 earnings conference call. We have with us on the call today Mr. Satya, Chairman, Mr. Gaurav Puri, CEO, Consumer Business, Mr. Nikhil Mahajan, CEO, Enterprise Business, and Mr. Sudhir Bhargava, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir Bhargava. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for taking time to join us on this call. We have uploaded our Q4 FY18 investor presentation. I hope you have got the link. Else, it is on cleducate.com, investor section, quarterly results. Why I mention this is because I'll be referring to some of the slides that are there. If you look at slide number five, which summarizes the revenue numbers, you will notice on an overall basis, total income has grown for the year by about 10% to about 302 crores. Below that, we have just, for reference, given our quarterly income distribution. In Q3 last year, it was slightly lower as a percentage because of the demonetization exercise that occurred. Otherwise, you will notice typically, the revenue point of view, Q2 and Q4 are more or less at par. In terms of profitability, while revenue has grown by about 10%, or rather total income, net revenue has grown by about 9.7%. At the EBITDA level, though, we have lost money, and EBITDA level number is down by about a third, from 34 crores to about 22. This is on slide six. To try and explain this drop, if you look at slide seven, we have tried to compute, based on our best estimates, the numbers, what they would look like, but for the various investments we have made. EBITDA, which for FY 2018 is at 22.7, and if I adjust, because Ind AS has certain components where the classification changes, I arrive at an operating EBITDA of about 11.9. Now, from here onwards, what we have tried to add back is the EBITDA level loss that we incurred in the new sort of investments we have made. The first one being Eatin, which took its own time to sort of stabilize, and we now believe we are in a position where it should start to move upwards. That Eatin was about 3.5 at the EBITDA level, a loss. We had acquired the team from Vistamind, and back over the year, in our estimates, we lost about 1 crore there. In addition, the vocational government business, our number, including extra provision and the expected credit loss, which is a concept under Ind AS, is around 4 crores. Over the last 9 to 10 months, the company added more senior management in its roles during the course of the year, and that is another 2.5. As I said, these are our estimates, and if you were to add it back, the 11.9 becomes nearly 22.9. The drop, yes, it is still there as a drop from 25.7 to 22.9, but it looks much more reasonable in a business as usual comparison. On slide number eight, we have put numbers based on the segmental reporting, as you would have noticed in the one page results. Consumer business grew in top line in revenue by about 9%, and the enterprise business by about 14%. For the consumer business, I'll now request Gautam Puri, who's the CEO for the consumer business, to take us through some of the numbers. We are now at slide number 11.
Thank you, Sudhir. This is Gautam Puri here. As Sudhir said, we are on slide number 11. Consumer business, the two parts are tester, or the coaching business and the publishing business. These are the two parts of our consumer business. And while in the tester, we grew by a little over 12.5%, publishing had a decline of about 3.5%. Essentially, the decline in publishing was due to one segment which we call vacancy segment. So let me just explain that. Every year, government comes out with vacancies for its requirements. So it could be state governments, it could be central government, it could be other agencies of the central government or PSUs. And that is a completely, unpredictable item. So while the year before last, which means in the financial year ending 17, there were a large number of vacancies which came, the vacancies almost dried up in the year in the financial year 17-18. And that is why we have lost about 3 crores of business, though we have been able to compensate for it somewhat by adding new line segments. For example, civil services are a line segment we added last year and which is doing very well, but it was not sufficient to compensate for the loss of the vacancy segment. As far as the test prep goes, the number of centers has gone up by about a third, by about 40% from 160 to 212. The number of stones are almost the same, just a marginal improvement. As far as the test prep goes, one segment that we have struggled is the bank SSE, and which to a great extent is also connected with the government segment. The number of vacancies even in bank SSE segment, the notification etc. were reduced, and partly because of our preoccupation with E10, wherein we were also trying to do the delivery of bank SSE products through E10 network, through a centralized delivery model. We lost some traction there because the market still does not seem to be very, very strongly oriented towards remote delivery for a bank SSE, a low-value product. Yes. Okay. I'll now move to the next slide, which is slide number 12. So if we look at the business, Sudhir earlier talked about the part called the new investment and business as usual. Business as usual for us at this point of time is the conventional coaching business of Career Launchers, where we train students for MBA, law, bank SSE, engineering and so on and so forth. In this segment, we have by and large grown. Increase of billing from 154 to 174 crores, a 30% growth. As I said earlier, the number of centers have grown. And the test prep numbers have grown by 2% on the back of about 30% decline in the numbers for bank SSE. But pricing has by and large been good. Across segments, we have been able to maintain a higher price than last year. Okay. And our average fee has gone up by about 15%. Let me now move to the next slide, slide 13, which summarizes the new initiatives we have taken. Okay. just to this was discussed last time also, but I think it will be important for me to highlight the fact again that the basic theme that we are working on is to focus on asset-light, tech-driven business models. And when I say asset-light, it is a business partner-oriented, which means there's a franchisee or business partner who will be working in the field and helping you grow the business. So this is what we have been working towards for the last 6 to 9 months, and that is what we will be focusing on in the coming financial year as well, in the current financial year as well. Just to summarize, E10 we took over. At that point of time, it was doing civil, and CA was almost closed. So this year we have continued with civil, and we are restarting the CA. Against our estimate, where we felt we will be able to pick it up and run it faster, we missed the business cycle for civil to a great extent. We took it over in April, and by the time we settled down in July, August, the business was significantly, the cycle was almost halfway through. And which is the reason why we were unable to generate sufficient revenue to cover the expenses. In Gate, we acquired Gate, the small company called iGate, which has 13 centers and the total business which it did in the previous financial year was about 10 crores. We took this over only in about September, October. In the coming year, we will be looking at growing the business of Gate. The interesting, important thing about Gate from our point of view is when we look at an engineering college, where most of our students for MBA and other programs come, for them Gate is also an important product. So Gate as a product allows us to cover a larger part of the market in the same segment. Campus training, we are working under the name Vistamind. It was again taken over in the middle of the season, and whenever we have done that in the middle of the season, it takes a certain time to settle down, but going forward, we don't see any issues with it. It has got integrated completely with the Sky Launcher business. Okay. SP classes is something that we have done in Bombay. It's an entry into science fusion, and from there, we will be able to expand it to other locations as well, especially in Bombay and in Maharashtra as a whole. So that is my update on the new products. With this, I will hand it over to Nikhil to take it to the corporate business or the institutional business.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Nikhil Mahajan, and I am the CEO of the enterprise business. We basically work with institutions and corporates in various spaces, which I will be covering in the next couple of slides. I'm currently at slide number 15. Basically, the enterprise business on a full year basis has grown by about 14%, from about 105 crores to about 120 crores, with the corporate business growing from about 94 crores to about 102 crores, and institutional business has grown from about 10.7 crores to about 17.7 crores, showing a growth of about 65%. However, the margins have more or less remained flat or have shown a very marginal growth, predominantly because of investments in certain new products, expansion in the management team, management bandwidth, and certain investments in technology and other platforms to make them product ready for the coming business season. If you broadly look at what our core business is, while we work with colleges and universities, our eventual touch point or reach point is eventually the youth segment, whether he's a student in a school or a college as well. I'm currently at slide number 16. So if you look at from FY17 versus FY18, we have seen a significant enhancement in the client base from 146 going to about 214. The university customer base has increased from 82 to 132, and the corporates whom we work with or whom we deliver one or the other kind of service has increased from 64 to 82. And the number of youth or people whom would we have done a high touch contact in form of seminar, event, outreach, connect, some kind of a digital connect or a product offering or a student engagement, student interview would have been upwards of million youth last year as compared to about 600,000 in FY17. I'll spend a minute covering broadly the services which we offer for both corporates and institutions. For the institutions, we broadly offer services of integrated marketing, student recruitment, research and incubation, career development center. The career development center is basically like a career launcher test prep center inside a college or a university where one or the other test prep product is delivered either through a localized faculty or through centralized delivery. If you look at the institutional business, this business actually is only 3 to 4 years or 5 years old and has grown from close to a zero to about 17, 18 crores in the last 5 years. Coming to the corporate side, we broadly offer five or six services there. The first one is integrated sales and marketing and outreach services for corporates to different segments of either their product and service consumers, youth, or any other engagement which they want with a particular target segment. We do digital and marcom services for corporates. We do customer engagement programs. We do manpower sourcing, management, and training, including placement services for a very specific type. And we also work with select corporates on certain strategic business solutions which are multi-dimensional and rather than just linking them to either sales or marketing or HR, they are slightly solutions which cover a slightly cross-functional interdepartmental play. Spending a minute more on the corporate business, this business, we as shared earlier, we work with roughly around 80 odd corporates. A large chunk of them are in the IT and the ITES space. We predominantly work with them in terms of their outreach engagement to their target audience, which is usually in the age group of either in the age group of 15 to 25, or with a segment who they will influence as an IT product buyer. The various outreach engagements include college events, seminars, channel events, digital and marcom events for their internal customers or the external customers, loyalty programs, people recruitment solutions for sales and marketing, training, deployment, etc. So we might work with a particular customer for one of these four, or for some customers we might be providing from the start to finish solution from people to the end product sale. As I had shared earlier, what we have been working with the corporates in India, we also see a significant potential of this, offering this service abroad, especially in Southeast Asia and Middle East. We hired dedicated resources to push this business. Last year, we generated a revenue of close to $1 million from our Singapore operation, which is now about 18 months old. Dubai operation has started last quarter, and we are looking to expand into new geographies, and we will see a good traction in these selected international markets in the coming year. The third critical thing which we've been working is on developing our own IT. And so over the last 2 years, we have developed probably one of the largest quiz competitions in India, where last year we reached out to about 1,200 schools and colleges with over 400,000 participants. The execution for this year is already underway. These IPs, we work jointly with the parent company and is executed. The IP is held by the parent company, CL Educate, and we work collaboratively with CL Educate on its execution on the ground. Similarly, we did one of the largest industry academy events. We have been doing it for the last 2 years, which last year saw more than 500 participants. We have taken this event offshore with the first variant happening in Dubai this month. And we are also now building out IP, tech-enabled IP properties and products, which will enable us to execute actions and customer engagements with minimal human interference, probably resulting in upward movement in our gross margins. Some of these products are going to be launched in the next fiscal, in the coming fiscal year, and will hit the market in the second and third quarter. That's what is on the enterprise business. I will now invite Satya to talk of the corporate events. We are referring to slide 19 now. Thank you.
Thanks, Nikhil. Hi, everybody. I'm on slide number 19. As you know, this is the theme that I pick up every quarter just to update you about the progress on a couple of things that were there right from the time we were on the roadshows for IPO. As you're aware, we had exited the K-12 business as a business, and the asset sale and realization of capital is a task on our hand on both the K-12 and the Greater Noida side. The entire K-12 piece is yet to happen. However, I'm happy to inform you, as also been shared in an update at an appropriate time, that we were able to liquidate the Hyderabad land that we had, and about 6.5 crores of money was realized during the last quarter. Also, the Greater Noida asset, while it has not gone for sale, it has become productive and it is beginning to yield some revenues. But both of these assets are on sale. One or two serious conversations are underway on the K-12 side. As soon as something develops, I will update you. If it fructifies during the quarter, it will go up, but we will cover it in the next analyst call. Now I'm moving to slide number 21, which is about the significant piece that we moved post-IPO with the deployment of IPO money. I had covered this in the last quarter, and I'm just reproducing the same one and giving us an update about it. You know, the entire effort, as GP also covered on the test prep side, is to broaden the product basket, improve the number of products available per center, which now has moved to about 204 or 205 right now, and see if the centralized delivery, which is how the civil services and CA is being delivered through the Ethernet network, and can we implement this to improve per center productivity as well as the EBITDA of the business. That is one significant task that is on our hand. In the last 12 months, we've deployed 22 crores of capital and added these. as you look at the bottom of that slide, what you find is that that has resulted in about 26 crores of revenue that these five lines of businesses have added to us, while it is at 4 crore minus EBITDA last year. We are hoping our numbers say that, and this is exactly what I had shared with you last quarter as well. So about 10,000 students getting added in these five products, which are large segments, and adding positive EBITDA this year is what we are looking at. So hopefully the investments that we've made in the last 12 months will begin to pay off big time over the next 2 to 4 years. But this year it should turn cash positive. So that's about the second corporate big rock. That brings me to the end of this presentation. I will pause for a moment, and if you have any questions or queries, we are happy to take that right now.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one to join the question queue. We have the first question from the line of Ashish Agarwal from Principal Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sir, actually I have two or three questions. First of all, on the business per se, now if I look at your presentation, as per your presentation, the market is growing at 16% CAGR, but it looks like we organically are growing much slower than that. So just wanted to understand what is the reason for that slow growth. Number two, my question is more on the operating profit side. Even if we adjust your EBITDA, it looks like that EBITDA has declined by 10% year on year. What is the reason for this decline, and how should we look at this going forward? And number three, more of a bookkeeping type of a thing, wanted to just understand why our trade receivables are so high.
Just repeat the first question, Ashish.
My question was that we, according to our presentation, the market is growing at 16%, but it looks like that we organically are going much slower than that. So just wanted to understand what is the reason for this slow growth.
Where did you pick up this 16% from? Could you just
This is as per your presentation, slide 24.
Oh, the one in the annexures?
Yes.
See, there are various parts to the test prep business. This is Sudhir here. And, you know, it would grow at that percentage depending on the composition. Now, our businesses are primarily, as of now, in the aptitude segment.
Right.
The knowledge segment is possibly the one which may be, you know, growing at a different percentage. However, this slide is nearly a year and a half old as well, because that is when we had listed and we had got this report done.
Okay.
So, as I said, there are two components, aptitude and knowledge.
Right.
Our revenues currently are majorly from aptitude. We are adding knowledge as we are going ahead.
This is Nikhil here. Just wanted to add one. This market growing at 16%, has two components. You look at it, education industry is split into two parts with that part of the slide, with 65-70% being the regulated K-12 and the school education and the higher education market.
Right.
And the unregulated portion, which includes the sixth segment, which is test prep, coaching, publishing. So if you look at it, and this report was done by CRISIL in 2016 prior to our IPO, there are some segments here which are growing faster, there are some segments which are growing faster. The overall market probably in the test prep segment could be growing in single digits. And each block would be, some could be faster, could be slower. this could be an estimated aggregate growth rate. So the faster growing segments, we are not very much present. If you look at MBA, market has been largely flat for the last couple of years. Law has only been growing at around 8-10%. Bank and SSC and the government job segment has been actually declining. So some of the other segments where we have a negligible presence or a very small presence, like civil services, GATE, CS, engineering, medical, these are very small presences, but the market is very large and they might be going at a slightly faster clip. So I think the overall estimate of the market is growing at 16% probably is an incorrect or inappropriate benchmark to compare.
So, sir, how should we look at your market and how should we look at your growth going forward now? Because obviously this year there were some additions from the E10, etc., which came in, right? So how should we look at the growth going forward and a little bit on the profitability side also?
Ashish, this is Satya here.
Yes.
Ashish, we should look at it segment by segment.
Okay.
Okay, so if you look at MBA, law, etc., there the game is going to be of to be able to grow higher than the market segment.
Okay.
And MBA, since it is flattish and it essentially is a 2-3 brand play, it is about acquiring relative market share.
Right.
If you look at a law, I think our task is to grow the market. You know, in India, when the MBA segment has 200,000 takers and the GATE is a 7 lakh segment, engineering is 1.5 million,
right.
Law is only 50,000 takers.
Right.
And in that, we have a 70% market share.
Right.
So the challenge in law is to be able to grow it to a lakh or 1.5 lakh, and even if there are more number of players who come in, If we keep a lion's share of that market, we will be good and growing profitably. Whereas in the new acquisitions, we are a very insignificant player. So we have to grow. If we grow in GATE, civils, chartered accountancy, etc., which we have acquired in the last 12 months and done about 6,000 students in all, including acquisitions, tuitions, CA, CS, civils and GATE.
Right.
There we have to, I would look at it, in terms of how do I multiply by 25%, 30%, 50%, because there is a large market to take. You have 6,000 students in a 15 lakh segment. So here the market growth would become irrelevant because the market might be growing slower, but you have a very small relative market share.
Right.
So it has to be looked at segment by segment, and that is the bane of our industry, that it is super fragmented, and this is the task. So there are not even the ORG kind of reports that one can refer to. So most of it is still in the evolving stage.
So even if I look at it, so is it fair to assume that we might end up growing at a high single digits, and if we are able to grow the market, what we are trying to do it in law or gain some market share from the others in the other segment, we might end up growing in a low double digits type of a number in next 2 to 3 years.
Ashish, you are perhaps as eager as I am in modeling. So that is likely to be an outcome of the addition of all the sub-segments.
Right.
But I would think you're there and thereabouts.
Okay, got it. And on the profitability side, because when we did an IPO, right, we were looking at a very different profitability. Wanted to understand what has gone wrong since the IPO. I understand some of the investment on the E10 side, etc., but even if I adjusted it, what you have given it, the EBITDA still seem to have fallen by 10%.
Yeah.
See, yes, well, you are right that EBITDA has, on an apple to a business as usual basis, has fallen by about 10%, because some of the things which we had planned out, some of one critical transition has been FY17, when we post FY17, we divested the K-12 business. FY17 had the K-12 earnings and EBITDA level built into it.
Right.
Now, while the business has gone away, the real estate portion we still continue to hold, unfortunately. So the impact of disappearance of the K-12 earning, which would have contributed about 3 or 3.5 crore, I don't know, recall the exact number. So if you were to, while these are what the balance sheet shows, if you were to knock off Apple's K-12 earnings from both sides, probably, yes, on the earnings side at EBITDA level, we are flattish. Okay. We would have anticipated a 10-15% growth rate over previous year. Unfortunately, a slightly muted revenue growth with a slightly enhanced expense has negated this 10-15% EBITDA growth which we had planned for. I hope that in the coming year, things are going to be slightly better and different from what has been the year gone by.
So what will be the lever, so to speak, for this? So it will only be growth. If the growth is much higher, then only our EBITDA will be growing at a much faster pace. Am I right in that? Or?
So, Ashish, Satya here again.
Yeah.
See, if you look at the centralized delivery model which GP spoke about in the Eden business, That in its way makes it a business. See, right now when it is locally acquired and locally delivered, it is about a 14-15-16-17% EBITDA business.
Right.
Like a spread. Whereas if you look at it from the centralized delivery, you are taking away the faculty costs at the receiving locations.
Right.
That numbers this year would have added to about 4,000 students in all in the CL ecosystem.
Okay.
So the idea is to migrate slowly, especially with the knowledge products, because CA is a knowledge product, GATE is a knowledge product, civil service is a knowledge product, and also last year we did about 800-900 of MBA delivery through centralized delivery.
Right.
So the idea is, how do we accelerate the centralized delivery model across the ecosystem, which will take your EBITDA to upward of 25%. That is the thing that we are betting on, and that was the reason for our investment in the E10.
So, but it will, if I'm not wrong, for that to materially impact your overall EBITDA, won't it take at least 3 to 4 years for that to happen?
If we are able to accelerate that in our core products, which is MBA and law, it can make a significant difference. We don't want to jeopardize business as usual and do a rash migration.
Right.
So we are thinking over a 24-month period,
right,
and we have delivery targets on a quarterly basis to the business heads, that such and such must be the mix by middle of this year and such by the middle of next year. So the 100% transition, I would entirely agree with you. It will take time. And also the delivery straight into the home is the other bet which we are doing. So centralized delivery into a center or centralized delivery into home. These are the two significant bets after the product expansion that we have done. So the latter was through acquisition. Now the execution will be organic.
Okay. And what about this trade receivables? Because it looks to be very, very high.
Yeah. See, if you look at the trade receivables, are about 110 odd crores. Out of this, if you recall, about 46 odd crores are from the government, from the vocational business, which we did for the central government and the state governments, which we discontinued about 24 months ago.
Right.
We have not picked up any new projects, but the old payments are still pending to be collected.
Okay.
Okay, and since these receivables are 3 years, 4 years old, if you look at under the new Ind AS, the delayed payment charge off on account of credit loss or the taking consideration of only the present value, you know, hitting our profitability to the tune of 3.5-4 crores this year. So yes, out of the 110 crores, about 46 crores is from the government. Balance about 20 odd crores is from test prep, the rest is from institutions and the corporates. And publishing is another 20-odd crores.
Okay. Because if I look at your institution and corporate business, the proportion of the overall business is obviously at a... So why I wanted to understand that is because given the fact that if the corporate business and the publishing business is almost 50% of our revenues, even if I adjust it, it looks like that it's close to 100 to 120 days for these businesses. Am I right in that or am I...
Yeah, you're perfectly right because for the corporate, the average outstanding period is about 75 to 80 days. For institutions is about 90 to 120 days. And for the publishing business, on an average is 150 days.
My question was then if you look at our segmental margins, right, with a 3-4% type of margins, this business then because with the higher debtors days, it looks like a very, very, very low at the PAT level. There will be interest cost and everything also built in.
Yeah, there is a little bit of interest cost and the cost of, and this is a business at a threshold. See, if you look at the institutional business, it's just this, at a gross margin level, it is about a 35-37% margin business.
Mm-hmm.
But at a small base, with a fixed overhead, the margins are slightly lower. It still delivers 17-18. The corporate business delivers about 8-10% EBITDA. Because as I shared earlier, last 2 years we have made significant investments to build the foundation for a growth in the coming 2 to 3 years. So yes, but the margins I won't see have expand from 8-18%. You might see a 1% annualized increase in the margins over the next 3-4 years. But on a large debt, it will be significantly EBITDA creative. So if 106 crore grows by 10-15%, and the margin increases by 1%, my EBITDA contribution will increase at a gross level by about 3-4 crore.
Okay.
Institutional business, if it grows by 15-20%, and on a fixed cost base, the incremental margin is 35-40%, my overall EBITDA will increase again by 3-4 crore. And this is what is going to, so basically, these are the 2-3 critical levers on the enterprise side. On the customer side, see if you look at it, most of the acquisitions and the new products, while they have contributed 15-17 crores in terms of top line, they were about 5 crores in the negative. And one of the acquisitions of integrations which we have just done this year, which is Sai Parivar in Bombay, did not contribute either in revenue or profitability. I think the leveraging of that with E10, Vistamind, other things, moving from minus 5 to 0 or a positive side, will itself add about 6 crore on the EBITDA side. And the organic business will go at its normal pace, which you had indicated, will accrete the margin over the next couple of years.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Resham Jain from DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to ask, is there any accounting changes this year you have made, accounting policy related changes in terms of revenue booking or in terms of expense related bookings?
No, not really. This is Sudhir here. Earlier we had IGAP, now it is in India. So the comparative numbers of 17 and 18 are both in India.
So I was asking like last year FY17 at the time of IPO. The accounting changes which you have made during this transition, if you can explain that, that would help.
So two main changes in test prep revenue recognition. One was part of the fee collected was taken as admission fee. While we still identify it, but it is distributed over the period of the service. In IGAP, which was till 17, I could take it upfront. That is one. Secondly, if I sold an online mock test or a test series, I would account for that product as revenue in month one, in the same month. In India, we are deferring it over 3 months.
Yes.
Digital product.
Okay, fine. Thank
so
you.
So these, yeah, okay. Is that all, Rishan?
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
Sure, you're welcome.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder once again to our participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Hardik Patel, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Shruti here. Sorry, I joined late, so I missed your commentary on this adjusted EBITDA slide. So I wanted to understand what is this 4 crores of vocational additional provision and ECL?
So, Shruti, this is pertaining to the government business that we have discontinued.
Right.
However, there is still some staff, rental, and certain parts of that business which need closure. So there is some expense on account of that. Secondly, in Ind AS, if you have receivables which are taking time, as a concept, you have to provide for what is called expected credit loss.
Right.
These two collectively are that 4 CR odd number. Because that receivable as of March 31, 2018 was around 46 crores. So therefore, there is a, you know, decent amount of ECL charge that comes.
That's like bad debt provision.
Well, you could call that if tomorrow I realize all of that money, I'll have a write back.
Right. Okay. Okay, my other question is on deferred revenue. So you were just, the previous caller was asking on accounting changes. And I remember last quarter there was deferred revenue of 4.1 crores, right?
No, I'll tell you. Because till that quarter, we were still comparing IGAAP and Ind AS numbers.
Right.
Right, and that comparison kind of stopped with March because both years now have got cast into Ind AS.
Got it. So now there is no deferred revenue concept. Everything is...
No, it is there, but the data is not that significant versus IGAAP.
Okay. So now, as you mentioned, now you are deferring it over...
Now, going forward, every quarter, you will have the base Ind AS number, so they will be comparable from the accounting standard point of view.
Understood. Now, a number of centers, so in the presentation you mentioned, there are total 212 centers, 63...
Right.
...and 149 partnerships. So we are moving gradually from owned to... More
so this we, yes, this we evaluate on a continuous basis. Typically, our preference is for a franchisee-owned model, which keeps it asset-light and, you know, helps us focus on content and delivery. So, yes, that is the direction we are looking to move as we go forward.
And how many of these are E10 centers? Because if I remember correctly, somewhere I read we were targeting 100 centers.
So that probably was much earlier as the time, as time progressed and we saw the, you know, that business dynamics. We currently would have around 55 in all.
So these are a mix of what you had acquired plus what you changed from local.
Yeah. Acquired, some we closed, some we added, yes.
And what's the new target? So, say 55 centers now. And
no, we don't want to give any target for centers or revenue. And also, you know, please bear with me because this is kind of competitive information as well.
Sure.
Having said so, what I want to repeat with Satya said is, we are looking at, see, now we have multi-product, multi-locational and multi-channel delivery. Classroom, online, broadband. So technology is what we are going to use increasingly to deliver more standardized content in a, you know, user-friendly manner, which incorporates time flexibility, product, and interactivity.
So if we were to understand how Satya was earlier saying that there is currently more of local delivery and you will want to move to centralized delivery over next 24 months, if you want to say what percentage of business is coming from local and central, can we understand that breakup?
Right now, that number of centralized delivery would be about 4,500, Shruti.
Students.
That is the number of students who are receiving. So it is a 4,500 divided by 82,000.
Got it.
So we need to make sure that while 80,000 grows, this one gets as a proportion, this one gets better.
Understood. Now my question is more on the enterprise business. So you mentioned you're growing your international presence, you're targeting other countries. So what was the revenue from international business this quarter?
See, the last full year, it was about 1.4 million Singapore dollars for the enterprise side. Last quarter would have been about 230 or 240,000 Singapore dollars.
Right. And now we're targeting Middle East and other countries. So that should grow, right?
For Middle East operation, yes, the revenue will start accruing. It's slightly difficult to give an estimate because in the first quarter, we just started operational. And we'll only be asking progress and actually operations rectify. We will keep sharing the updates.
Sure. And you mentioned because of you know some costs that came in that this quarter, like senior management costs, etc., the margins were impacted. But what would be normalized margins for enterprise business? So if I compare this quarter is 4.7%. So what should be like normalized margins?
I think Nikhil kind of mentioned that his attempt would be to improve it by a percent or two every year. So it's very difficult to give a number there, but, you know, let's hope that we start to move in that direction.
Okay, sure. This is very helpful. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Right.
Thank you. Anyone else who wishes to ask a question can press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I'd like to hand the conference back to Mr. Sudhir Bhargav for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice evening. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of CCL Educate Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.